Hello, everyone. This is Jose Saavedra. Welcome back to my entrepreneurship blog and podcast. Today, I am presenting you something new. Today, I am running my first solo podcast. And for some of you that have listened to my prior podcast interviews, I've done a couple interviews with leaders in the aviation industry. Today's is a little bit different because I'll be discussing a topic. Today's topic will be people that are nonconformist and some of their traits and behaviors as they push for change around the world. And the idea behind this podcast actually emerged from a video recorded back in 2016 at the Aspen Ideas Festival. And in this video, Professor Adam Grant, he's a professor of psychology at the University of Pennsylvania, talked a little bit about nonconformist, and he kind of coined the term originals. And he defines nonconformists or originals as people who enjoy standing out and speaking up, people who drive a lot of the creativity and change around the world. And basically, this notion of creativity and change kind of piqued my interest as we draw connections, obviously, from creativity and change to entrepreneurs and the world in which they operate. And I think there's something to be learned from these traits and behaviors as we look at ways to bolster innovative thinking and tapping onto some of those tools and resources that other individuals might have to offer. So what I want to do today is I want to look at the top five characteristics or traits of nonconformists, and we'll go ahead and take a look at those. Number one, we'll start with the originals. Take risks or novel ideas. And this is a very interesting trait because if we want to look at it, we need to look at it as two components. We've got to look at risks and ideas, or more specifically, the idea of idea selection. And in order for us to analyze it, we've got to look at it in the framework of an organization, whether it's a business, a startup, or any other form of organization. And the main concept here is that Professor Grant found that originals tend to look at openly discussing ideas among peers. So what this actually reminded me was this whole concept that of learning communities, because it's obviously based on the framework of collective work, feedback, and generating other ideas as we openly discuss ideas and throw them out there for the entire group to kind of give input and feedback into it. So what is my next obvious question would be, so what does this mean for entrepreneurs? And when I look at entrepreneurs and I look at nonconformists or originals, I would say that entrepreneurs are exactly that. They're exhibit A of what originals or nonconformists really are. So, and the reason why I say that is because I believe entrepreneurs' goal is basically to move the world forward by bringing new products or services to the market. And with that idea in mind, it is pretty easy to see that entrepreneurs are people that take risks and work their way in selecting ideas. So this idea reminded me of a quote that I read from Steve Schussler's book, It's a Jungle in There, and it says, quote, "If you want to be a successful entrepreneur, you have to be a risk taker. Passion, ambition, and talent are all traits that help a business person make it to the top, as you need all three to work your way up the corporate totem pole, but you need guts to be in business by yourself." So as we can see, this idea of Schussler, we can look at how risk, basically, it is part of the entrepreneurship game. So when we put that when we pair that up with Professor Grant's findings, we can see that it's basically entrepreneurs can benefit from some of these traits from originals or nonconformists by reaching out to peers, to other entrepreneurs, as they look for feedback and collaboration to develop new business ideas or concepts, trying to improve or bring a new product into the market. Number two, originals make the unfamiliar familiar. The key to achieving this is communicating those creative ideas in a way that makes sense to others. Some of the research that Professor Grant conducted shows that it takes about 10 to 20 exposures to a new idea before people can fully appreciate it. So as you can see from these numbers, it is a very, very complex process. And now if you think about it, the more complex the idea, the more difficult that it might be to get others to really buy into your concept. So it can get complicated very, very rapidly. So I would say the best advice to address this, the unfamiliar, and it would be mastering the art of repetition. And I think about this idea a lot, actually, when trying to explain my job as an operations officer. Most of the people that are outside the aviation industry have no idea that even airport administration is a field of its own. So when I say that I'm an operations officer, it means absolutely nothing to them. So I usually get something along the lines of, got it, something to do with TSA security, or usually about something about marshalling airplanes in with the little orange wands to a gate. And a few years ago, I actually decided to take a new approach. And instead of saying, I'm an operations officer, I decided to start saying, I'm a compliance inspector and I make sure everything inside the airport fence is running smoothly. And now when I took this different approach, people seem to be more receptive. And what I figured out is that people seem to be a lot more familiar with the concept of a compliance inspector. And they, from that point forward, I never heard anything to do with security or orange wands welcoming a flight to a gate. But I think all of this emerged from this idea of repetition and communicating this concept time after time after time and getting feedback that was not exactly what I wanted or what I expected. So this is something that entrepreneurs can definitely take. Again, the art of mastering repetition and communicating ideas in a way that others are able to understand it. It's a great skill to have when you're trying to pitch a new business idea or a project to an audience of investors. Number three would be originals fight groupthink. And I think this is very, very, very important. At some point or another, all of us have been faced with the question and ask ourselves, how would my manager want me to handle this issue? And I think that's something that we really got to be cautious on how we approach it. Because if we're approaching it as just, that's just the way we do it here, or this is the way we've done it all this time, then we also got to be careful that that's not emerging from managers refusing to be open to non-conventional methods of achieving the same outcome. Because if that's the case, employees are really not going to put forward their best effort. And not only that, I mean, I think employees need to feel safe to speak up and share their ideas. Professor Grant says that groupthink can emerge from management's views as they get portrayed onto their employees, and also from simply seemingly irrelevant comments. So one of the examples that he gives is when managers say, "Don't bring me problems, bring me solutions." That in itself is a pretty interesting statement, because what the impact that will have on employees is that employees won't voice the big problems going on in your organization. And this is extremely important for entrepreneurs and startups. And it's better if we put it in context with this quote that I found from The Lean Startup by Eric Ries, where he says, quote, "Startups are organizations dedicated to creating something new under conditions of extreme uncertainty." And I want to focus on this second part where it says the conditions of extreme uncertainty, because that's basically prime ground for things to go wrong. I mean, the last thing you want is for people not to speak up and voice their concerns and tell you the major issues that might bring down your organization. Number four, originals find allies in unlikely places. Now, when it comes to finding allies to help you move an idea forward, it's important to be careful and go to the right people. And Professor Grant pretty much breaks it down that people are one of two categories. They're either givers or takers. And takers are people whose first instinct is going to be to ask, what's in it for me? Well, givers are people who usually tend to have other people's best interest at heart. So what he says is that you need to be able to identify givers, but specifically those givers that are disagreeable. And the reasoning behind this is that givers that are disagreeable, they will tear your ideas apart. But at the same time, if you're able to motivate them, they are people that get very excited about a new idea, and they will do, and if you, again, if you're able to motivate them, they will help you do anything to prove skeptics or other disbelievers that they're wrong. Now, if we look at this idea of givers and takers from a management standpoint, entrepreneurs, managers, and other business leaders' goal should be to identify and eliminate selfish takers from your own organization. Agreeable takers are nice people to your face, but they will stab you in the back. Disagreeable takers are much easier to spot. And it's important to understand that they're a destructive force that hinders creativity, and also it interferes with the willingness of others to share and grow their own ideas. And lastly, number five, originals put values above rules. And the idea of having rules in place, it's helpful in creating order within an organization. However, any ideas must be based on values in order to be effective. Also, rules need to be uniform and apply evenly throughout an organization. This reminded me of a story that I read recently in the book The Startup CEO by Matt Bloomberg, where he discusses this organization that was known for its frugality in having a travel policy that called for $150 hotels when traveling for business. And he says that if employees exceeded the amount of $150, they were asked to reimburse the company. However, when the CEO was questioned about not following the actual policy, rather than adjusting his travel expenses, the CEO decided to rewrite the policy, then exclude himself from it. So obviously rewriting the policy was not the issue, and what this did actually created a situation of dissonance in which employees felt the policy was really not reflective of frugality or their true values that the organization claimed to have. So again, it is important that the rules are made based on values, and because if they're misused or mismanaged, employees will always notice. And another thing I really want to point out is just the fact that leaders and managers should be able to articulate the credible and reasonable link between both the rules and the organization values. So I think entrepreneurs can certainly take this into consideration as they are building up their own startups and organizations. So I hope you're able to take these five guidelines and principles and apply them to your own organization in your own way. As we all know, creativity is a much needed trait within any organization. And I think all of us can learn a thing or two from those individuals that are moving the world forward. I truly hope you enjoyed this podcast, and see you next time.